What's up, everyone? Welcome into Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. I'm a radio host at Sports 1140 KHDK, the flagship station here, Sacramento Kings. Also work with the Kings crew on every radio broadcast for Kings games. Got another good one for you today. Going to answer some Twitter questions and want to get to a report about a certain NBA draft prospect that came out recently. All that and more coming up next here on Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everyone? Welcome into Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Got another good one for you today. It is Thursday, the 24th? Yeah. So, been asking you guys to get at me on Twitter at CTH415, and, because I want to talk Kings, man. I like to hear all of it. I like to hear what you guys have to say, so I want to get to some Twitter questions coming up in just a minute. Also want to get to another report out there about Luka Doncic and the fact that he might slip out of the top three, which I think is a little crazy, but, you know, anything's possible. Evaluations are not complete yet, so there's a lot of things out there. Also might do a little preview of the Eastern Western Conference Finals that are continuing, and we actually got some solid series. Games haven't been great, but the series is good, if that makes any sense. Most of the games have been a blowout, except for the one, the Rockets' most recent win at the Warriors. So might get into that a little later. But I wanted to start off with a report from ESPN that Luka Doncic might be falling out of the top three, which I find a little weird. In the article, it basically, author, writer, whatever, reporter, basically admitted, like, it's mostly nitpicking, but teams have nitpicked themselves out of picks before. That was a lot of picks in that sentence right there. But basically, the fact he mentioned that scouts, looking back, think they kind of talked themselves out of Jason Tatum last year and completely missed on that. So with all the time they have to evaluate and, you know, pick through these prospects and stuff, they have enough time to tear them down and to talk themselves out of picks, basically. So as far as Luka Doncic is concerned, there are reasons for concern. One of them was the fact they're not sure if he's going to come over to the NBA immediately, which I don't agree with. It is something that's out there, and it's definitely something that should be taken into consideration, but I don't know how seriously it should, because if he goes top two, top three, he's going to be making more money in the NBA immediately than he makes over in EuroLeague. And the thing is, as I mentioned before on this podcast, so the rules are, if you are if you're drafted and don't play in the NBA for 3 years, then you circumvent. It's a little inside joke for myself right there. No, then you circumvent the rookie pay scale. So if he gets drafted and decides not to come for the next 3 years, and then does come to the NBA, he basically can negotiate a free agent contract all the way up to the max. We saw that with Bogdan Bogdanovic last year. He signed a 3-year, $27 million deal, which to me was kind of crazy. I think he's a really good player, but the deal he signed was by far the highest free agent deal for a player in his position. The second highest behind him was a player named Tibor Pleiss for Utah, I think, or maybe he got traded to you, but either way, he signed 3 years, $11 million. So that is something that teams are a little worried about, but I don't buy it, especially depending on where he gets picked. If he does fall out of the top three, even still, he'd still be making more money in the NBA and be working towards his first free agent contract in the NBA, which would still take a couple years longer, but whatever. So I don't buy that, and I know some of his comments right before the final, you know, final four game or whatever it is, the championship game over there, about, you know, he's not sure if he would leave and this and that. That's just a kid that, you know, had a great run with his team and his friends, and of course he's going to say something like that. I think when it comes down to it, he will be an NBA player. Now, as far as some of the on-court stuff, I understand the questions. Every draft prospect has questions, but I still think Luka Doncic is a top two, top three pick, hands down. Questions about, you know, he's put on weight over the last year. They're not sure if his ability to get to the line will translate to the NBA. Like, they think he gets, you know, somewhat superstar treatment over in Europe, and will he get that same treatment here? And his, you know, shooting percentages went down this last year, and blah, 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 blah. I mean, all I need to know is a 19-year-old won, you know, I don't know if he won the MVP yet of the EuroLeague. He's probably going to, or if not, he was in running for MVP in the second best basketball league in the world. So, I don't know. It just seems like teams are kind of talking themselves out of it, trying to find reasons not to draft him or whatever. I'm not quite there yet. He still would be my perfect pick for the Kings. I would still love to have him on the Kings. And he even mentioned that him and Bogey are friends, and, you know, he'd be happy to play with him, which is absolutely the right answer, whether or not it's true. You know, at least he showed solid media savvy with that answer. So that's a quick update on Luka Doncic, a guy who I'm still very high on and still would take in the top two, top three, no question. It really just depends who you have rated higher between Bagley, Ayton, and Doncic. Speaking of which, got some Twitter questions I'm going to get to coming up next. One of them has to do with DeAndre Ayton and some other topics related to the Kings and the NBA draft coming up and what they might do with their draft pick, not just in the draft, but could they, you know, possibly look to move it? So that's coming up next here on Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton, and just doing a little rundown here, doing a little draft review of some of the news that's been coming out as far as Luka Doncic is where I started. And there was a report recently that the Lakers would be, that no one's untouchable on the Lakers. They'd be willing to deal anyone if the right offer came along. And so I've been asking you guys, you know, get at me on Twitter, at CTH415. Hit me up with any questions you got. And James Stinnett, at 91 Stinnett, asked, would you trade the number two pick for Brandon Ingram? And to answer that quickly, no, I wouldn't. I wouldn't trade number two for Brandon Ingram. It, like I said, it depends on your evaluations of these other players. And at the same time, I would think that the potential of DeAndre Ayton, Marvin Bagley, Jaren Jackson, Luka Doncic, whoever you want to put in that conversation, would be a lot more alluring than getting Brandon Ingram. There are situations where I would definitely consider it. First off, it would have to be a lot more than just Brandon Ingram for the number two pick. The thing is, in this hypothetical deal here, the Lakers don't have their pick this year. And I think it fell at number 10, something like that. I'm not positive. But if they still had that pick and they're offering up Brandon Ingram and maybe someone else, yes, I would definitely consider it. But for Brandon Ingram straight up, no. Brandon Ingram in the 10th overall pick, I'd think about it. Probably still come to a negative, a no. And I don't know what the Lakers situation is next year. If the Kings do trade down this year, one of the non-negotiables to me is I need a 2019 first-round pick because the Kings don't have theirs. So it would be no matter that. That's the starting point, is a 2019 first-round pick and then whatever else. But if a trade doesn't involve, it would have to be something pretty crazy to not involve a 2019 first rounder to try and recoup that. But the fact, so the report came out that the Lakers are willing to look and trade and yada, yada, yada. And so Brandon Ingram was a name that came up. For the number two overall pick, I would consider Brandon Ingram and Kyle Kuzma. That's pretty much where it would have to start. And then maybe throw in the next year's first round pick. But again, these are all hypotheticals. And as far as anyone else on that team, I mean, Kuzma would be one of the ones I would definitely look into. Lonzo Ball, I'd pass on him. Just that the Kings do not need another point guard, and definitely not one that has, you know, a dad that will come and try and coach the team or anything like that. And I would still rather have see what De'Aaron Fox can do than you know, hang on to Lonzo Ball giving it a shot. Besides that, I really don't know. I don't know what else they would have to offer. Ingram and Kuzma are the big names. So there's that. Appreciate the question. But, you know, does De'Aaron Fox raise any eyebrows over there? Does that get them thinking about trading Fox for Ingram or anything like that? I don't think it does. I really don't think it does. But worth asking, worth seeing what you can get, because the Lakers would be in the same situation the Kings would be. We already have our point guard. So appreciate the question. And yes, if they can get Brandon Ingram, that would be great because it would fill a hole at the three, which obviously, as I've mentioned, is their biggest need. But again, doesn't make sense at this moment, at least for the number two overall pick. So appreciate that. Another question from William Brundage, W. Brundage on Twitter. Seems like a lot of draft Twitter bash Ayton's defense and motor, but most people connected to NBA have him number one. Am I missing something? No, not really. Yes, he is ranked number one or number two, depending on who you go to for your rankings. Kind of like I did with Doncic in the first segment. A lot of nitpicking going on right now, man. A lot of reasons to talk yourself out of certain players and draft picks. So it's really just, it's just the evaluation process, man. And it can be a little frustrating because we talk a lot more about what a player can't do or his deficiencies than, you know, what he can do. My only thing is for a 7-footer, for a guy his size and his athletic ability, I would really like, if I'm drafting a guy like that high, I'd like to have more of a defensive presence. But that's that, again, that's me nitpicking. You know, Karl Anthony Towns, when he wants to, he's a good defender. Maybe that's the case with Ayton. Maybe he just hasn't been motivated enough to be a good defender. DeAndre Jordan was a poor rebounder for the first half of his career until he decided, I'm going to make that a priority. And, you know, he's one of the best rebounders in the game now. So it's just nitpicking at this point. And again, the idea that he's lazy or doesn't work as hard is a lot of big men have it. Joel Embiid had that knock on him, and he turned out fine. I even heard about Towns at a certain point, which was kind of ridiculous. So it's not, it just depends how real or extreme it is. Because like I said, Joel Embiid had that coming out, and for his first 2 years while he was rehabbing, that he wasn't working hard enough and this and that. And maybe it's true, maybe it's not. But like I said, it's just nitpicking at this point. People are trying to talk themselves out of it and talk themselves out of a pick. And I just, I don't know. I'm not really with it, but that's the nature of the draft and draft prospects and things like that. So, one more I wanted to get to, was asked on Twitter, who outside of Doncic and Ayton should the Kings look at taking? And there's two that jump off the top of my head for me, and that's Marvin Bagley and Jaren Jackson out of Michigan State, maybe? I don't know. But Jaren Jackson is a great defender. He's a guy that, in today's NBA, he's a center. Maybe 10 years ago, he would have been a power forward, but in today's NBA, he's a center, good rim protector, good athlete, just a good player, you know? And I've seen some people that have him ahead of Ayton, which, you know, it's a toss up. It's a lot of opinions at this point. But his offensive game is not quite as refined as Ayton's, and so that's kind of what separates them a little bit. But the fact that he, and like I said, I want defense coming from my big man. I want rim protection if you're out there. And the fact that he does do that is definitely something I would look at if I'm the Kings. And then because Willie Cauley-Stein's not a great rim protector either. You would like him to be. You think he has the ability to, but he just is not yet. And then Marvin Bagley, he's a guy, he's, you know, 6'11", 235, kind of in that 4-5 mold. He can play some four, but because of his offensive limitations, I wouldn't want him playing the four. I'd want him at the five personally. And he's another guy that is not great defensively, but he's a high-energy player, not really refined as an offensive player either. He's more of an upside pick, but people love his upside. They think it's huge. They think he can definitely come in and become something special. But there is going to have to be a good amount of development with him. So those are the two main ones that jump off the top of my head as far as other prospects that could be looked at it too, or if the Kings fall in love with one of these guys, could maybe trade down and, like I said, pick up a 2019 first-round pick. That's got to be a priority if you do trade down. So thank you for the questions. Like I said, hit me up on Twitter at CTH415. Hit me up with any guys you want to hear or anything you guys want to hear and want to talk about. Like I said, these podcasts are for you. So whatever topics you want covered, I am willing to talk about them, so let me know. Thanks again for the questions. And when we come back, we'll do a little Western-Eastern Conference Finals look ahead. And yeah, that'll be coming up next here on Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Just got through some Twitter questions about draft prospects and potential trades with the number two overall pick. Another thing about the Brandon Ingram stuff that I didn't really get to, if you are trading that number two overall pick, I'd want someone a little more established. I'd want to know to get more of a known quantity, more of a known look, they're not going to get Kawhi Leonard or Kyrie. I don't know. That'd be interesting to see if Kyrie gets moved this offseason. Celtics are ruthless. Yeah, as we've seen, Danny Ainge will do whatever he needs to improve his team. But no, Kawhi Leonard, like if they could get Kawhi Leonard for number two, done. You do it in a second. But Brandon Ingram and most of what the Lakers have, I would just need a lot more. But so we got to that. Talked about DeAndre Ayton a little bit, Luka Doncic a little bit, some of the others, Marvin Bagley and Jaren Jackson. And now we're going to talk a little conference finals, a little bit. Eastern Conference, it looks like it's going seven. It honestly does. I mean, neither of these teams can win on the road. Both these teams, for some reason, play great at home. I would still go with LeBron just because he's LeBron. If it does go seven, LeBron in game seven will probably do enough to win, but I don't know. If it was that simple, that easy, then he wouldn't be losing games one, two, and five in Boston. So it's a toss-up, but I have to stick with my pick of LeBron. And those games haven't been great. They've all been blowouts, but it's a solid series, which is funny because that the Warriors, Cavs, 2016, right? When Cavs came back 3-1, like, yes, great story, great team coming back 3-1 to win the finals. Those games kind of sucked. Those games weren't very entertaining. They were blowouts all the way until the last game, and the last game was a great ending, but for 45 minutes, that game was boring. It was a lot of bad basketball in that game. And we're kind of getting that this year also, at least in these conference finals. And then over in the West, Warriors blow a 10-point fourth quarter lead to even the series up. And now it's a three-game series between Houston and Golden State. Game five in Houston tonight. Andre Iguodala and Klay Thompson both banged up. I would expect both of them to play. Andre is the more questionable one. But I would expect both of them to play. I'm still sticking with the Warriors on this one, but Houston's played well. Houston's played really well. They're a good team, and the I'd honestly blame the Warriors more than give Houston credit for Game 5. I mean, they deserve credit because they won, obviously. I'm not saying they didn't do anything, but Warriors blew that one big time, and it might come back to bite them. If they can't win this series, they will look back at Game 4 and just be like, what is wrong with us? We can't be so arrogant all the time in the way we play. But anyways, that's a quick rundown of those games. We got Game 5 tonight, so check that out. I will be back tomorrow with more Locked On Kings. As I said, hit me up on Twitter at CTH415. Anything you guys want answered, any topics you want covered, let me know. So come on back tomorrow because I will be here. Thank you so much for listening to Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network. Peace.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.